The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Hey, it's Chris Fleming. More painful than a Tyrannosaurus Rex stepping on your testicle. Listen to Dave and Mike on Odyssey Files.
Oh! Kim, what are you doing?
Well, I'm telling Mike and Dave, it's time to get on the show.
Oh, well, the Odyssey Files starts now.
Good evening, Para-X, and the rest of the world. You were listening to the Odyssey Files on... Well, on Para... I did it again. I always do it. I always keep wanting to repeat Para-X. You all know what you're listening to. Oh, I just said y'all.
You did. You're on a roll, man.
Oh, could you tell I just rolled out of bed 45 minutes ago?
Yeah. Yep.
I am Michael Neal, your host, and the other person you just heard, if you don't know already, is my co-host, Mr. Dave Sawyering. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening, Mike. How are you?
Other
than tired, just rolling out of bed.
Just peachy. No, I'm actually wide awake, which leads to the extra energy as opposed to, hey, everybody, you're listening to the Odyssey Files.
You know, oh, we're going to give it the smooth vibe.
I should try that.
Like, we should do the whole show and like just not get excited at all. Just keep everything monotone.
No, so, not so much monotone, but like the smooth jazz.
The smooth jazz.
Hey, like, everybody, you're listening to Para-X.
Yeah,
you know, that kind of thing, or maybe like a love line.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
I like that.
I do want to do that at some point in time because I had the great like paranormal dating thing. Like if we did like a paranormal love connection.
Oh.
Where we brought like two investigators together to go.
That would be a bad idea.
That would be terrible. But you know
that
what?
That would be a horrible idea.
Apparently. I mean,
in theory, it sounds good, but I just don't see that translate into the real world with a lot of strength.
It would need to have strength for 1 hour. That's it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I got it.
And then everybody would forget about it, including us.
Yeah. Okay. I can go with that. That sounds fine.
Just I'm filled with great ideas. Maybe I should just stay tired. It keeps me more balanced.
There you go.
But no, I seriously had that idea that for paranormal speed dating.
Oh, I know you did. Yeah.
And I thought that was a great idea. You should pick a location. Let's just say like Edinburgh Manor, where there's a whole bunch of rooms and it's a big building.
Yeah.
And there's. Let's say it's the ladies' turn to stay still. So they pick a room, and then the guys try to get like a 15-minute EVP session to do with them. And then at the end of the night, you see who you want to do more investigations with.
Yeah. Or I like that. Or you do just a 5-minute one, and you got to tell your best true ghost story. You know, and then the person who has the best story gets his pick of the women.
No. What? No.
That's like what paranormal, speed dating that, is.
That's like Paranormal Bachelor. I don't want to do a Paranormal Bachelor.
Okay? Paranormal Bachelor, I love it.
You know, we actually had a topic for today, but I think we're going to switch to just idiotic paranormal reality TV show ideas.
There we go. That's a good way to start it. It's different. It's fresh. We haven't done it before. I like it.
No, because I'm all out. Because it would pretty much be a paranormal spin on all the reality shows that already exist.
Well, I'm just looking forward to the second version of the Family Feud, you know. When the board doesn't go flying and all the answers aren't exposed and then people aren't yelling in the background the answers to our contestants. So
there were some mistakes made in that first one, and they will be corrected.
But I have faith in you.
But for those that weren't traumatized by that episode, namely everybody but me, we are working on a second show with it. So we'll have to see. The Dubuque chapter of Odyssey Paranormal Society, because they lost, their reward is they have to come back and try and win. it just depends on who I can get. Now that we're actually at a later hour, I think it's a lot easier to get a more of a local team. Or another local team, I should say, instead of two local teams that could find the time,
right?
Because they'd be home from work by then. So we are working on that. So for those of you who I contacted last time in order to do the survey, I will probably be contacting you again.
There's only two things moving forward with that idea. Number one, you need to have some type of Vanna White turning the tiles for you, so you can just focus on your awesomeness speaking into
that's
the microphone.
Wheel of Fortune.
Well, I don't care. We're going to hybrid it. And then number two, I get to go the whole show. I get to still go.
No. Absolutely. I have the sound effects for a reason, and that's so you don't. We don't have to hear you do that ever again. Get it out of your system, Dave.
I am much better than any stupid plastic sound effect machine.
It wasn't a stupid sound effect. The buzzers were the stupid sound effects machine.
Oh,
they actually had those. But one's broken. The other one, another one sucks and is annoying. Well, they're all annoying, but like even more annoying.
Okay.
I don't know. We'll have to see. Maybe I'll just have them pound the desk or something. I don't know.
There you go.
But we'll figure it out by that time.
Well, here's a perfect idea, right? So you get a local team, okay, and it goes against the Iowa chapter team, right? And then when they wanna chime in for the answer, they have to shine their flashlight at the screen. Now that's going to be a humongous victory for the local team, because we all know that the Iowa team doesn't bring their flashlights.
I'll make sure.
It was just everybody, just so you know, don't get all
somebody.
Upset.
Somebody will bring a flashlight.
Yes, Jim will probably have a flashlight.
Jim will bring a flashlight,
yes.
Because I will tell him to.
I know, I will too. I'll remind him.
And 80% of the time, he does what I tell him to do.
Yeah.
So, just kidding, Jim.
It's more like 90, but I mean, okay.
We'll see.
So where are we going tonight?
it's a serious topic. At least it's serious to me.
It's serious to us, yeah.
Well, yeah. For anybody who, I don't want to say is part of a team, because I think there are a lot of investigators out there that don't have to do all this. And if you're at least a decent director or leader of the team, founder, whatever you want to call yourself, I think that you try and make it as easy on your team as possible. If you're crappy, then you make it as easy on yourself as possible. So, but let me just say first that there's probably some things that I'm going to say that will offend some people during this show.
No way.
Yes. Well, maybe not offend as in like, you know, like racial or stereotypical or anything like that, but there are some people that I know, whether they listen to the show or not, I have no idea, that they fall into these categories. And even though I'm speaking in general, they might think that I'm talking about them specifically, and I'm not, even though I do know them.
So don't use any names.
Well,
right?
No, I don't have any
no
names.
Names. Just generalities.
Right. Right.
Yes.
So
okay.
I'm just saying that if I'm describing something and you feel that you fall into that category, I'm not talking about you specifically. it's just in general. So, but what we want to talk about tonight, and me especially, is everything that, and I think we've talked about off and on throughout the history of the show, and that's like the sacrifices and the hardships and what actual paranormal investigators have to do in order to be good at what they do. And the reason why I say that it might be different categories is I am not talking about ghost hunters. I'm not talking about thrill seekers. I'm not talking about the people who want to call themselves investigators and then only do like historical places because they know that there's activity there and then they want to call it investigating.
And then they don't do any evidence review. They just live for the moment while they're at the location.
Or they do, and the only reveal that they ever really have is online so they can become really popular.
Or amongst themselves, but they never go back to the site to reveal to anybody who's in charge there or anything correct. Like that. Right.
Correct. Those people. The people that I'm talking about are the investigators, the people who get into this to help people in their, and yes, I go to historical locations, but I always offer a reveal. And in fact, the William A. Irvin ship in Duluth has, I think they told me like 5 different teams a year. Although not this year, since it's pretty much buckled down due to seawall repair. But up until this year, you know, they would have like 5 different teams, and year after year after year, they would have that. Until 2 years ago, two or 3 years ago, when I first investigated, I was the only team ever to actually come back and give them a reveal. And it's a 2-hour drive for me, two and a half, something like that.
It's a 2.5-hour drive, yeah.
Yeah, and it was just for a reveal because I did an investigation, I had evidence, I figured they would want to know, and they did. They were ecstatic. And in fact, I have another one that I have to do. I just have to get a hold of her for August. That last time that you and I were there, that's still crazy.
It was alive. That place was alive. It was
with what? I have no idea. I've never heard that kind of language.
No.
And no. I'm not talking like German, that kind of thing, but
There was some foreign language in there too, but what we're talking about is the colorful type of language that we can't use on this show. Yeah.
There was a lot of colorful metaphors.
Yes, there was.
Even a racial slur.
Yes, there was.
Even on the spirit box.
Yep.
So I don't know what was going on at that point in time, because this was the third investigation I've done. Have not gotten anything like that. So if only we could actually play some of those audio clips, we would probably be kicked off the air.
Probably. But we're not saying them. I mean, so really that's something we should look into, because, you know, it's evidence that we caught. Oh, okay.
No, I have asked because I had another EVP, a really, really good one that I believe had the F word in it. And my big thing was that, well, we're not saying it. It's part of the clip. And they're like, well, you have to beep it. And I'm like, well, then it's not really worth it.
No. No.
If all you do here, beep, you know, no.
It diminishes the effect of the EVP in itself. So.
So in order to make my point, maybe I should say to start to make my point. I'd like to go through pretty much everything that has to be done for one single case and the time that you have to do it. So wait, home case or historic? Because they're a little different.
Well, I would say that I was going to say the way I would break it up at first is I would say, let's talk about doing like a local home case, you know, and then doing a home case out of town, while they're similar in the fact of what you're trying to accomplish for the homeowner who's having issues that you're trying to help them overcome their fear or whatever, you know, their particular issue is, it's a lot different if you've got one that you can drive, you know, a half hour to versus when you got to drive 8 hours to. You know, as far as coordinating yourself and time schedule for work and trying to get everybody on the same page. And
I have never had to drive 8 hours for investigation. I would, but I never have. And I don't even though the Dubuque chapter is 5 hours away from me, I don't consider that, if we went for a home investigation or whatever, I don't consider that driving 5 hours for a home investigation. I consider driving 5 hours to be with my team in my second home, I guess, if you want to call it that. But yeah, and then it's local, you know. I guess if it's a Dubuque chapter investigation, then I'm part of the Dubuque chapter and I'm just 5 hours away from that chapter and it's a local investigation. Mm-hmm. But you are right, because I have done I've done cases in Litchfield, which is an hour away, southwest Minnesota, which is 2.5 hours away. But you are right. When I get a case here in the cities, oh man, I love it. but you have to understand how large the cities is. Cause I used to frequent, the LeDuc Mansion, which is in Hastings.
Yep.
I mean, even though it's still considered part of the cities, it's still an hour away from me.
Yep.
So, you know, it's still a drive plus traffic, depending on what time it is. So we get a call from client, you know, or if we seek them out, we get a response back. So you have to do the claims, obviously. So that's at least an hour long phone call. I have had 3 hour long phone calls and gotten absolutely nothing from it, except that the person's crazy. I think the longer the phone call, the crazier the person is.
Well, I don't know if crazy is a good term to use, but yeah, you know, maybe now, they're just anxiety ridden, you know,
I guess I should clarify that. I don't consider the clients that call me to be crazy, but the people that I'm on the phone with for like 3 hours are like having arguments with me about like how all orbs are, you know, and all dust, there is no dust particles. Yeah. They're all ghosts.
Yeah.
Or they're talking about,
did you send them the picture that I sent you, the orb picture with the,
no, I didn't send them anything.
That's all you should send him is that picture and say, you know, dude, in our most recent scientific investigation, we came up with this out of our photo lab, and then see what they say.
I know you're talking about the one about this is the mailman. And
yeah. This is the Indian. Yeah. This is the Indian. Yeah. This is the kid eating ice cream.
I do love that photo.
That's a great photo.
But you know, in another one, a guy was being like hunted by the government, shot by lasers from like Comcast employees. I mean, it was like insane. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about people who are scared and are giving me their claims, I'm not talking about them. I will talk to those people until the end of the earth. They just is not needed. They just want to get their information over to me and set up a walkthrough.
Mm-hmm.
So, which goes to the next step, the walkthrough. Depending on where they live, and again, if they are there for, you know, if they're a half hour away, it's great. Oh man, is it awesome. I mean, you can go to work, come home, eat some dinner, go to reveal and be home by 9.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
when your client is 2 hours away, that is, you get off work, you change clothes, you go in, you're home by 11 maybe. And you know, you get like 4 or 5 hours of sleep and then you go back to work.
Yep.
So,
and you're eating a burger in the car on the way there. Yeah. You're not sitting down and eating like a good dinner at home.
Yeah. Yeah. You're stopping off for gas and you're buying some gas station food because you don't have time to eat.
Right.
You have to be there by 7.
Right, exactly.
Because that's what's convenient for them. The investigation was so much harder. I've said this before, and I will say it probably until the day that I retire or die, whichever comes first. The hardest part of setting up an investigation or any part of any case is the logistics. Trying to get everybody on the same page to be at the who's driving who, is everybody driving themselves?
Right.
I don't typically like doing that. I don't like everybody just converging on a location. I like meeting, you know, at a restaurant or whatever before and then showing up as a team.
Right.
Unless they're not going to be there, then it really doesn't matter. But this, you know, me showing up and I'm like, oh, yeah, my team's going to be here eventually.
Yeah.
just
as they stagger in one every 18 minutes for the next hour and a half. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, it doesn't, that to me just doesn't, it doesn't show a good teamwork. So I like showing up as one all at the same time, ready to go.
Right.
Plus then you don't have to do like 700 walkthroughs or tours of whatever building you're
right.
in. So there's that, and that's difficult.
And that's important though. So, I mean, that's a good important. Point that you just made. You know, the important thing is the homeowner that is going to be there to meet you, to give you the walk through their property and to specifically point out areas where the claims are actually happening. It's important that everybody is there for that walkthrough. You know, otherwise you don't have any focus going in for the night. You know, you got people asking questions of shit they should already know prior stuff, whatever.
Yeah. Sorry, bad word.
Yeah. It's not that bad, but okay.
No, I know. If Comedy Central can say it, so can we.
That's right. And
until the powers that be tell me no, which they have many right. times. So the investigation and Jim, who's my lead investigator from Dubuque, him and I have had this discussion and disagreement many times. The length of the investigation, and it's a question that gets asked a lot, like how long do you guys investigate? And I think it comes down to activity and delays, really. Because
and claims, right? I mean, because if the person says, "Hey, you know what? There's a little bit of things that are happening at after 8 o'clock up until about midnight, and then it seems to get quiet, and then at 2 o'clock the place just explodes." You're certainly going to stick around until 2 o'clock to that 2 to 3 o'clock hour to see if everything is exploding, like they say. You know, you're not going to not stay for that.
That is true. Although I don't know, I don't know if in my career if that has ever happened. It's always like, well, when does this happen? Oh, at all hours,
all
like,
the time. Yeah, usually.
Yeah, yep. There's never, you know, almost. I can't say never. There almost it has never been one where it's like, well, it's at 11. I mean, they do hear stuff like, I hear footsteps at 2 o'clock every night. You know, that kind of thing.
Right. Right.
But then they also hear it at 8, and they hear it at 11, and it's right. all the, you know, it's right. and it's all the time. But so if you take into account that's what I think mine are usually like 5 hours, something like that.
With setup and everything?
With setup. Included? Well, yeah.
As yeah, I say, easily 5 hours with setup, yes.
Yeah. Because I think we're usually there around 9. Then we have to do the walkthrough, we have to do setup, and investigate, then the takedown. I mean, I think we're usually right. there to like 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah, usually, yeah.
Unless it's like a major location and we have like all night to do it, and then it just depends on how much energy we have.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that there's been a case yet where 2:30 doesn't roll around and we're all just like, you know,
That was me at the temple on the first night, you know, that like 2:30 bell hit and I was, you know, having some issues anyway. And I'm just like, seriously, it's got to be over. Isn't it over? Is it not over? It's like the first time in probably 10 years plus I have said, isn't this investigation over yet? Usually I'm the first one chomping at the bit and I'm ready to go until breakfast. you know, sunrise, I'll run out and get coffee and donuts, and we're sticking around for another hour or two after that. But, you know, not that night, man. That was the first time in a long time. I'm like, okay, all right, I'm getting in the car, I'm going home.
And we were there till 4.
And we were there till 4 anyway. Yeah. Yeah.
That was a very long investigation.
That was a long night. Yes, that was.
So you have that. So, I mean, what are we at now? Like 9 hours considering.
Yeah.
The and this is just time. You know, that's not the only bit here, but time-wise. Well, then you have to do evidence. Oh, the dreaded evidence. And this is the part that I think separates the good from the bad, because the ghost hunters and thrill seekers from the investigators, even though everybody really wants to get to their evidence, I just think that most people just take their sweet time doing it. Like, yeah, I'll get to it when I get to it. I mean, there were a lot of times where I was the only one that was willing to do evidence review. Like, nobody would show up. And that sucked, because it was seriously at a time where I did 5 weeks. I did 5 weeks in a row investigations. Oh. Five yeah. investigations in a row. And I had a full team at the beginning of that five weeks. I had me at the end of that 5 weeks. Like,
yeah.
Everybody quit.
So let me point that out. There's words of wisdom there, and I've even told you this before. You know, don't burn yourself out. Right. Don't overbook yourself, and don't burn yourself out, because, you know, it's difficult. I know it's exciting, and I know that we're chasing, you know, we're legitimately chasing answers, you know, and we're legitimately looking for things much greater than, is there an entity in your house? I mean, we're way past that stage as far as our research and what we're hoping to catch and hoping to discover. But for other people, five weeks in a row is brutal, you know, as you saw. Yeah.
Yeah. And it took, I will admit, it took me a long time to catch up with those cases. Thankfully, none of them are homes. You know, it was the Irvin. It was, I think, the LeDuc. I think Enberg was in there. I mean, it was a 5 week stretch of things that just suddenly came up.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, well, we have investigation this week, nothing. And then an investigation. Well, this place says that we can come in, but we can only do it this weekend. And it happened to be one of the two free ones. And then another one was like, well, I guess I can do that. Otherwise, you can't do it for like 3 months. And all right, well, now all of a sudden we're at 5 weeks.
Right.
In a row.
Right.
And that's probably more of a fault of mine, because I will not turn down an investigation. The only reason that I would ever turn one down is if I already had one scheduled.
That you might just find a way to creatively do both in one night.
I have
thought about it, I'm sure.
Well, it's something that I'm doing with the Dubuque team. I'm training two of the investigators on how to do the full investigation part of it, just in case they get, you know, two home investigations on the same night and you have to split up the team.
Yep.
That has not happened yet.
It could, though.
I'm both happy and sad about that. I'm happy because, you know, two families aren't like, you know, hugely affected by this, where they need an investigation on the same night. But I'm sad because to be needed like that extremely would be awesome. Being able to help that many people in like one night would be perfect. Although I do not currently have the staff to face two up here. Down there I do.
Yeah.
So let's just take for a moment that at least one of your investigators will help you do evidence review, because that is your responsibility, especially if it's a house investigation. They're not going to be willing to wait a month.
No.
Or six No. weeks.
No.
Like they want their stuff now.
Right. And that goes way back in time again, too, when you and I were talking years ago and stuff. And I said, you know, for me, it's a week. I mean, if I have a home investigation, we're doing it the week. It's getting done no matter what. If I have to do it all myself, the week after we do the investigation on a Saturday night, let's say, it's getting done, and it will be done by the next weekend.
Yes.
No matter what.
That is what I have stuck to, because I agree with it. You do the investigation week one, the weekend of week two, you finish up the evidence, you go over with the team. The weekend, if it works, the weekend after that, you're doing the reveal.
Yep. For midweek, you know, with the homeowner, depending. Right.
Depending on, if the schedules work.
Right.
So let's just say you have a 5-hour investigation, just to make the math easy. Who says you never use math in real life? every student, that's who. But let's just say I have a lot of recorders. I have 7, I guess, maybe.
That's a good guess.
Five regular, the Zoom, the Ghost Arc.
And then the Arc. That hasn't burned up yet, so that's good.
No, that still works, although I hardly ever use it anymore. Now that I know, like, the EM, basically the only thing that even works on it properly is the recorder part of it. The rest is junk. You might as well just download the app on your phone. I mean, it's about the same thing, but the recorder's really good. So, I have seven recorders, at least. I mean, I know the SLS does audio, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? I don't ever use that either anymore. $1,200 down, not down the tubes, because I still have it. It still works. But it's got so many problems. I even I saw about a minute and a half of a Ghost Adventures here recently on my DVR that they showed a clip of the SLS capturing figures. And I'm like, nope, those weren't figures. It's mapping crap behind you and a door frame. I'm like, I can't believe you actually showed that as evidence. But that's them. I almost never use it anymore. But we're not counting that. So let's just say I'll use my 5 recorders in the Zoom. So it's a 5-hour investigation, 6 recorders. You're looking at 30 hours of audio.
Right.
Split between 2 people, if they're willing to do
a 15-hour session. Yeah.
Yeah. If they're willing to do a 15-hour weekend.
Yeah.
Or just 15 hours. That's a long time.
Yeah. Let's put that into context. That's not 15 hours of you just sitting there listening to it. That's 15 hours of not looking at the TV, not sitting outside watching the kids play in the pool. That's 15 hours of being focused and concentrated, listening for any abnormalities on the recorder, then stopping it, going back, or at least tagging it, and then going back and listening to it again, then sharing it, then discussing it, then deciding whether it's what is it. And then where is it going to go from there? So really, it's at least double. So if it's 30 hours, it's at least 50 or 60 by the time everything's done, I would say.
I think that's a little bit of an over. Depends on how long your Spirit Box session was.
Yeah.
That takes a long time.
Yeah.
Oh.
40 hours.
I've had.
It adds another 10 easily.
But then you have to add in camcorders. And if you want to watch DVR.
Yeah.
At the same time as you're listening to the audio, or separate them.
Right.
Because each piece of equipment is its own investigation, which sucks. I can't tell you how many times I've had to listen to the same conversation over and over again. Sometimes from afar, sometimes right next to it. Sometimes we have 2 recorders in the same room because somebody's got a handheld.
Right.
And then there's a static one. So, I mean, I have to relive the investigation like 6 times. And it, by number 4, gets a little old because you know what's coming.
Especially if people are making mistakes along the way.
Oh, well.
I'm sure you'll love that.
Well, that's actually, because there have been a lot of times where I'll hear a question or they'll do something, whether I knew about it or not, before the fact. I'd be like, F and beep, beep, beep. I'm like, what were you? I'm like, what kind of question is that? You mother. I'm like, you don't ask that. You know better than that.
Yeah.
The only time where I actually laugh, I do laugh out loud a lot, though. There was seriously one time, it was perfect timing. I had to stop the recorder because I was laughing so hard. Or stop the playback, I should say. I cracked open a can of pop, and as soon as I did that, somebody on the recording going, "Did you just hear that?" And I'm like, "Wow." I heard it.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. There are other times. When we were at Farrar the very, very first time at the Chad Kalick event. I've told this story before. I don't think on the show, though. There was a woman named Suzanne. Do you remember her?
Yep.
Okay. We're in the auditorium. We're doing that. I'm sitting in the chair in the far back. I can't remember if you were talking or doing a session or what. But I'm listening to this on the recorder. I don't have any video of it. So it's just the audio in my ear. And all of a sudden you hear, "Mike." And I freaked out. I'm like, "Oh my God. Oh my God. Holy." And then there's about a 5 second silence while I'm freaking out. And all of a sudden I hear, "Can you help me with my camera?" I'm like, "Oh my God, woman." There was some colorful metaphors spoken after that one. But for a little while, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, it's the same one that I chastised down in the maintenance room when she was pulling out a piece of equipment and goes, "Can you turn the light on? Because I don't remember what the buttons look like." And I'm like, "Have you ever used that piece of equipment before?" "No, I just got—"
I remember that.
Yeah, and so she was so excited to bring it out. And I'm like, no, you don't just pull a bust out a piece of equipment in the middle of the dark, in the middle of an investigation, and we're doing a session in the maintenance room. No, that's not how it works. You got to understand what you're using. Yeah.
So we're— then you have the reveal, which— then you have the team meeting where you just argue with everybody for, I don't know, 2-3 hours.
And then you get off track. Yeah, exactly. And then you go off on tangents and stuff. Oh, yeah.
Share stories about what happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
Add in another 5 hours.
Yeah.
And then you have the reveal, which, depending on how much evidence you get and questions, is probably about 1.5 to 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say this, and you were there, obviously, for this one, but there's times when you can do a walkthrough at a house, and it'll take you 30, 40 minutes. You'll walk through, you'll talk to the client, they'll tell you what is happening and what location. Maybe you'll take a couple of pictures, you'll make some mental notes, you'll kind of wrap things up, you'll leave, talk to your team about whether things look legitimate. Are we going to schedule this? Does the homeowner seem legitimate? Is this something, or does it seem like it's not, something that we should tackle? And then on the flip side of that is you will have one like Mike and I had, where we walked in to do the walkthrough, and for 4 hours, neither Mike or I said a single word. And I got jumped. Yeah, exactly. We just nodded our head, and we didn't even investigate, and I brought something home with me. So that was crazy. That was a crazy night.
I actually just heard from her this past week. Yeah.
Yeah. Things going good?
They're the same as they always were, just a little different.
Oh.
No, more lights turning on and off. That was never a claim before.
Well, that happened when we were in the bedroom. The table lamp turned on. We were looking at the black ball, that purple black ball on the bedspread.
Yeah, but this one's the kitchen light. Oh. So, otherwise, I guess like a pop can or whatever went flying off the mantle.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Activity ramping up again.
No, I don't think it ever really stopped. I mean, she's got all of that power and ability. It's the revolving door.
Right.
There's nothing there. Yeah, we could go in and do a cleansing and get rid of everything, and then 2 months down the road, it's all going to be back.
It'll be back, right?
Something different. I mean,
that
kind of case, it's just all you can do is inform.
It's a teaching thing. Yeah,
you can't stop the activity. It's just not possible with her abilities.
No,
which sucks for me because I really pride myself on actually getting rid of the activity. I don't.
Or or I was going to say, or not getting rid of it, but making a peaceful coexistence accord, so to speak. Nobody, I mean, so.
Right. So right. When I say get rid of the activity, maybe I should say get rid of the fear.
The fear, right.
The fear of it.
Yes.
Complete the understanding that nobody is in any danger, the spirits or the living, and you all can coexist and nobody bothers the other.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty much, I mean, that right there would be a great niche, the paranormal negotiator.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but we're not going to get into that. It's another reality show.
That's a whole another show.
So we have to go to commercial, but time-wise is the biggest one. I think is the biggest sacrifice burden of any team, and especially the director, because they're the ones that has to make sure all of this works. So just for that, for any director out there that may be listening or ever will listen, for those of you that know what I'm talking about, good job. just well done, sir. And ma'am, I guess, just in general. So we'll be back. And there's a couple more things that I really wanted to stress, because I know it's a big, it's probably even more of a burden and a sacrifice than this time thing. But it does correlate. So we will be back shortly, as we were talking about the paranormal love. We'll be back in 2 and 2. For anybody that gets that reference, good for you.
UFOs, Bigfoot, cryptids.
All the shit on the coin. Just think if you listen to the words of Arabic.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Rat, where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view, back where I belong.
Please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kinds of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No.
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear. Line.
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
That's the Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hi, everybody. This is Chip Coffee, psychic and medium. I just wanted to let you know that when you're in the mood to get weird, you need to tune in to the Odyssey Files with two of the biggest weirdos I know, David and Michael. Take my advice. It doesn't get any weirder than that.
Or more entertaining. Just want to throw that in there. We ran out of time with Chip. He couldn't add that in there. It was Chip Coffee promo.
Oh, gotcha.
So, we have scheduled for another interview. Yeah, coming up.
Yep, looking forward to that. Love Chip.
Very much. Love me some Chip. So, we're discussing things that paranormal investigators have to go through. Real paranormal investigators. And I'm sorry for those people who call themselves investigators but don't really help anybody except themselves I think there's a humongous difference in the line is getting bled through because of how they classify themselves between paranormal investigators and paranormal entertainers.
Yeah, I would agree with that, but I'll tell you what's more dangerous than the paranormal investigator in air quotes that is only there to entertain themselves is the paranormal investigator that doesn't know what the hell they're doing and makes the situation worse for the homeowner and the family and the location. Actually, yeah, I mean, that's substantially worse than anything else that could happen.
Yes.
Honestly, I mean, in my opinion anyway, that's my opinion, but that's the worst thing that can happen is to get somebody in there who doesn't know what they're doing and a legitimate haunt and have them go in there and do something that they shouldn't be doing and make it substantially worse for the client. It just doesn't get any more disrespectful to our profession, and it doesn't get any worse for the person who's being afflicted by the entity that's there.
Yes, 100% agree. So one of the main things that, and when I got into this, it never mattered to me because I was always single. But I have to ask now every interview that I do for a new investigator who has a spouse, who has a fiance, who has a boyfriend, girlfriend, significant, you know, whatever you want to call them.
Yep.
I have to ask now if they understand what my interviewee is doing and do they support it? Because, and almost every time it's yes, they do. I'm like, well, get ready because that's about to change.
as we saw somewhat recently.
Yes. Well, multiple times.
Yeah.
For those of you who either want to get into the profession, are in the profession, are just interested in the paranormal and have been affected by it in some way, understand that all this time that I've gone through over the past, you know, 40 minutes is that is time away from family. That's time away from your spouse. That's time away from all of them that you're spending with this team.
Right. Time away and from your kids.
Time. Yes. Well, I mean, family, you know, but,
right.
But yeah, for those who have kids but are divorced, you know, that maybe single fathers, single mothers, it takes time away from your kids. And I can't vouch for any other team but mine, but I try very, very hard to try and make sure that I schedule appointments around for them to be able to spend time with their kids. You know, if they have joint custody, so they have them every other weekend. Right. I try to schedule investigations for the weeks they don't have their children. But if you take that 40 hours and then you take 40 hours from work, you know, that you're gone from your family for like 80 hours each case. And if you have a case, if you have two cases a weekend, you're pretty much with your team every weekend, or two cases a month.
As I say, two cases every weekend. Jesus, what direction are you heading? I'm jumping ship. It's an official message.
Yeah. I would be by myself for
you
very
would be
long
very
time.
Quick. Yeah. Yeah.
Either that, or I need a team of like 20.
Yeah,
know, that type of thing, and we just doing rotation.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing that I've noticed is support for a person's going into the paranormal and joining a team falls off very, very quickly. Because I think they have it in their head at the beginning that it's like one Saturday a month and that's it. It's the investigation. That's it. And then all of a sudden, so they're like, yeah, go do it. I support you. You know, whatever, you know, this is something you need to do, yada, yada. Then all of a sudden, you know, they have a case the next weekend. Okay, great. Go do it. Well, then the investigation happens. What do you mean you have to go next Saturday or next Tuesday or whatever and pick up the evidence? What do you mean you have to sit there for 15, 16 hours while we're watching TV and you're doing evidence review? What do you mean you have to go back and have a meeting and, you know, this the weekend after that? What do you mean the weekend after that? You have to go on an investigation. Well, I shouldn't say you have to, but it falls off very, very quickly. For the people that can make that happen, for their team, for the people on their team, and especially the spouses and fiancés and boy, that constantly are supportive and that doesn't fall off, and they understand how important it is. Golf clap for you. I don't want to like fully do that because I don't know how loud that would come over the speakers. So I'm just gonna quietly golf clap you. I mean, it's a full on applause because it's not easy.
No,
I'm still single, but I understand the burden that my investigators take on when they do this. And even though I stress it over and over and over again before they even join the team, I still don't think that they're prepared for what is actually going to happen.
No, you know what it is? It's they're so excited to chase, to become, I shouldn't say chase, to become part of something that they have a desire to be a part of, that they just nod their head and go, oh yeah, oh yeah. Every weekend? Oh, pff, yeah, not a problem. 15 hours a week doing evidence review? Pff, yeah, not a problem. Oh, you want me to do, that's just audio? And then there's another 12 of video? Yeah, that's not a problem. Yeah, that's not a problem. I'll just call in sick a couple days. I got a whole bunch of PTO built up. Not an issue. You know, and then, you know, 2, 3, 4 months down the road, they're like, really? This Saturday again? Because, wow, didn't we just spend like 56 hours in the last 2 weeks doing review and a reveal and location scouting and walkthroughs and, you know, yeah, the honeymoon dies very quickly in this profession.
It does.
Yeah.
So which makes it, again, even though we've had a lull down in the Dubuque chapter and up here, which is fine because it's allowed me to try to rest, even though that hasn't happened, get caught up on some things that I've been behind, paranormally speaking, even though I still have like, I seriously have like 9 cases that need to go on the website and I'm just like, I don't want to do it. And like, oh, it's so time consuming. But that makes me respect and admire the Dubuque chapter and the people that I have up here even more, because they have done it. And they've done everything that I've asked without complaint. And they haven't at least approached me that it's really been like a humongous issue or causing a, okay, one.
I was going to say, yeah.
There's I one, didn't want to. I wasn't trying to bring it up because he assures me that that even though it was a mildly contributing factor,
it wasn't the total thing.
That it wasn't. It wasn't. It was bad from the beginning. From the time he entered the team. But I have lost investigators, many investigators, because their spouses are like, no more.
Right.
They want to do it, but their spouse is like, no. Nope. You're spending way too much time away. And they, you know, I never, would never, and have never expected anybody to choose
the paranormal
over their
real life. Yeah.
Nor should they.
No.
You know, if this was like, maybe if we got paid for this and, you know, it was, oh yeah, I forgot to mention that. We do that all for free.
Yeah.
So, I mean, keep that in mind. So all this time away from their families, all the time that we spend doing for free.
Right. But there is cash outlay coming out of everybody's pocket for gas to and from, food while you're on the road, lodging, whatever, you know, not to mention equipment, and that's a whole nother story. So
that's a whole nother story.
Right.
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. Yep.
You would think that for a profession, a field, however you want to phrase it, that probably, I don't, half of the world doesn't really even believe in,
or at least half, consider
to be a valid field,
right?
Or anything other than a silly hobby,
which is just offensive.
Yeah, the I agree, but the financial toll and the price for equipment is unreal.
Yep.
Like I mentioned the SLS, it just throws out a grid like an Xbox Kinect, and that's $1,275. I mean, the Ovilus, which is a terrible piece of equipment.
I mean, the Ovilus 3, though, I've seen it in action. It's a
terrible piece of equipment.
It's interesting looking. I don't want
an interesting looking. I don't want a $350, you know, paperweight.
Well, right. You already got the Ghost Arc. You don't need another $350 paperweight. Yeah. Right.
Well, it's a paperweight that records somewhat decently.
Right.
So that was only like $150. So go us. Well, go me. I'm the one that bought it.
Right.
So, yeah. Although the DVR system that I just bought, the 4K system, well worth every dollar.
Yeah. Oh,
I love that thing. Oh, okay. Sorry, I'm done gushing.
Yeah. I was going to say, nothing's getting by with that setup.
No.
There's no spirit going to sneak by the door frame. You know, it's not the grainy 600 line, you know, VGA, you know, look like you stuck a 96 used VHS tape in there after you recorded 400 episodes of The Love Boat on it, and then you decided to use the same tape to do an investigation with. Is that something? No, I don't know. You know?
Yeah. No, it's unreal. But like I said, worth every penny. So,
in summary,
that's kind of what was coming.
I was going to say it's getting into that time. So.
It is. We have about 2 minutes left, something like that. So yeah, in summary, I don't want to make it seem like I'm trying to, I don't want to say showboat, but like, this is a very, even though, yeah, your clients do, this is a very thankless field, I think. I don't think a lot of people appreciate what goes into it and what has to be done. Least of all, surprisingly, our clients, because they are, for whatever reason, and paranormal investigators' worst enemy is them.
Not all of them, but yeah.
Not all of them. Some of them are phenomenal. They're like, oh, you want to come in Saturday? All right, we'll go to the casino for the night. You know, the house is yours.
Right, exactly.
Here are the keys. We're going to the cabin for the week. Good luck to you.
Right.
I love those clients because they don't interfere with you whatsoever.
Nope, they take the dogs. The pets are out of the house. The whole nine yards. You got the whole place to yourself.
Yeah. It's the clients that ask the investigators, are you going to be in and out of here in an hour?
Right.
Because that's what the TV shows show them.
Right. Right.
You know, it's the clients. They're like, well, you come in and investigate, but you can't go here.
Right. And when you get done, when I get home tonight, so you start at 8, you set everything up and then investigate. And then at 10, when I get home, we could do evidence review then. Can you show me everything that you've got, you know, and let me know is it safe to sleep here, or, you know, is it just my grandma, or is it a devil? Is it the devil? Yeah. Is it Lucifer himself roaming the hallways of my house?
they want that instant answer, and we can't provide that.
Can't do that. That's not how it works.
For those investigators out there, the ones that got in this field to help people and continue to do so, and they're not out to do Facebook Live events, you know, directly from this person's home. Thank you. For everything that you do, from two investigators to you, for those of you ghost hunters that just want to have Facebook Live events and do haunted historical locations and do events and make money, stop. just stop. But yeah, that's just me. So that's it for us for tonight. We have no more time. I have to cut the feed.
All right.
So
great guest next week, right? Next week, great guest.
Yes. Oh, Ken Boggle next week. I love it.
Yeah.
So looking yes. Forward to it. So we'll be back next week. Everybody, have yourselves a good night.
Hello, everyone. This is Ken Boggle. You know, you hear so many great moments during each and every episode of The Odyssey Files with Dave and Mike. But if I had to really choose my favorite moment, it would have to be when the show was over.